That's cool. I'm about power, man. Bring it on. Praise God. We've been talking about power. We've been talking about how God moves powerfully in revival. In the last several weeks, I've been sharing with you various accounts of various revivals that have taken place in the history of the church, some well-known, some not quite as known. And the reason for that is because I want us to be aware that this is not just some, you know, fringe type of thing that you might see in some church in some poor part of town. This is the life and blood of the church. This is the church that God has birthed from the day of Pentecost. And this is what He wants to do. And when you see God move in His church throughout the history of the church, you see a consistent pattern of the Holy Spirit being poured out with power. And I know that we can sometimes be a little cautious about that. And, you know, caution isn't a bad thing. It's good to be cautious about that. But I think the more we see, the more we have our heart open to understand that this is God, how God typically moves, this is a God thing, then we can be encouraged and have confidence and not be afraid should God begin to really pour out among us, as I am fervently praying and looking for Him to do. Yes. Today I want to talk a little bit about the Solomon Islands revival. Now, down in the South Pacific, there is a group of islands known as the Solomon Islands. And around 1970, God began doing a mighty work in there, pouring out His Holy Spirit on the people and just moving in a mighty way with signs and wonders and evidences of His presence. And that, in fact, continues to this day, although there's been a lot of tension down there because of civil war in various places and guerrilla uprisings. But in 1989, about 19 years after it started, there was a man named Ian Mallins. Now, Ian Mallins is sort of an expert on revival. He wrote this particular book, Prepare the Way for Revival. He's written several on that. He was a pastor for about 10 years. Excellent book, by the way. He went down and visited the Solomon Islands to really just kind of check out what was happening down there, get a firsthand experience of what God was doing. Excuse me. If I may, I want to read in his words what he experienced when he was down there. Could we get these two lights on for just a moment, man? I'm waiting for God to just, you know, really heal my eyes and stuff. But until then, if He does, I'll let you know you can cut those off when He does. Ian Mallins went down, and this is what he recorded. He said, as this final meeting came to a close with worship and prayer, and this is going to be a little extended, so bear with me. We were encouraged to make our own inward response to God. Michael Malio, called us to offer ourselves afresh to the Lord as a living sacrifice. Then he invited us all to pray. Typical of the way that the Solomon Island people pray, everybody began to pray out loud simultaneously, so that the church was filled with the noise of more than 1,000 voices raised in prayer. Within a few moments, an incredible thing happened. I could hear from the back of the church a loud sound above the noise of people praying. And it gradually moved forward over the congregation like a great wave. Everyone present would have heard it as this wave of sound touched people. The intensity of their praying increased, which added to the sound's volume. The noise was like the roar of a mighty waterfall. Or was it the sound of a mighty rushing wind like Pentecost? It continued to move forward from the back of the church. I could hear it coming closer and closer to where I was sitting with the other Australian pastors, just a few rows from the front. Then for a moment it seemed to hover right over us like a mighty wave about to break, and then it fell and rolled over me and those around me like a huge breaker. At that instant I was engulfed by a warm sensation that flowed all over me, and a deep cry and a groan was released from deep within. I began to cry and sob uncontrollably. The volume of voices around me was now at a deafening pitch as those around me were inundated by the wave. For about 20 minutes, I was caught up with God and cried uncontrollably as the Holy Spirit powerfully touched my life. My own crying and sobbing were inaudible because of the noise around me. God was dealing with other people as well. I believe now that His work in me was to bring a profound release within that I had never experienced before. God was releasing from me emotions and conflicts and hurts that I had bottled up for years. And He was now washing me clean and setting me free. I saw no vision, as others did. There was no conviction of sin or failure, though there was for others. No images of anything came into my mind, and I didn't even know why I was crying, except that I knew God was doing something deep in my life that I did not fully understand and that I could not control. All I knew was that this was the Holy Spirit at work in a way I had never experienced before. Truly, this was a divine visitation, and the Holy Spirit was awesomely present among us. I hunger for that. How glorious is that? Is that not glorious? Doesn't that thrill you at all? Is there something inside of you as I read these words that just reaches out and wants to lay a hold of a mighty move of God to that degree where He rocks your world to the very depths of your being and turns you inside out and makes you a new person? My soul cries for that power to be released. I know as a pastor, I hear heart-wrenching stories. I sit in my office and cry with so many people and pray with them and seek God for the things that they need desperately in their life. And to hear God moving in such a mighty way where He just sweeps through like a river and cleans all the junk and the garbage and the rot out of our souls and fills us with life. Man, I crave that. Hope you guys do too. Maybe, you know, all right, sounds cool. Sign me up. He goes on in this account to say that it lasted about a half an hour. God just took control of the service for about a half an hour and said, hey, buddy, just put everything down. I got the platform. And He just moved on people and in people and through people. And as Ian Mallins looked around, as he was able to wipe his eyes clear and just kind of look around, he said he saw people having all kinds of different responses. There were some people that had deep conviction and were just broken before God. There were some people that were filled with joy. Some people just saw dancing and being carried away in the Spirit. Other people had just this radiant look of peace on their face as God just abode upon them. And the peace of God flooded their soul. It was supernatural. It was not just some emotion they worked up. God brought that to pass. He said people were in different positions. Some were standing. Others were sitting down. Some of them were kneeling. Others were on their face, prostrate on the ground. God dealt with each person individually. Even though He was sweeping through corporately, He touched each person as an individual and did a specific, unique work in them at the deepest level of their soul. And that's why revival is so unspeakably priceless and valuable. It is a glorious treasure, a gift that God gives to His people that is beyond compare, that can't be compared to anything else. Because it brings God's power to us. We have it up here. Revival brings God's power to us in the deepest places, in the deepest, for the deepest needs, in the deepest ways. Revival brings the power of God in the deepest places for our deepest needs, in the deepest, most personal ways. These needs that we have, I mean, they not only, you know, you hear about felt needs ministry. Well, it's not just something that stands between us and success. These are the deep spiritual needs that we have that cripple our walk with Christ, that stand in the way between us and having the fullest, most powerful relationship and walk with Jesus Christ that we can have. And many of these things we're blind to. Many of them are buried so deep in our gut and in our soul that we don't even, most of us don't even want to deal with them. It's a whole lot easier just to cover it up and medicate ourselves and distract ourselves than to have those doors open up where we have to go into a place that would bring us to a point where Ian Mallins was, just sobbing uncontrollably before God. But I guarantee you this, he would not trade that moment for anything in the world. The price was nothing compared to the glory of God that was opened up inside of him. And that is real, and it is alive, and it is glorious and priceless beyond compare. And that's what God offers us when we come here to worship Him. Glory. There are things deep in us that are locked up that Jesus wants to come in and bust off the locks and open the doors and take control of and wash through, because He wants all of us. He wants our past. He wants our present. He wants our future. He wants everything we were, everything we are, and everything we hope to be. Our entire being, and it belongs to Him. He's not politely requesting it. He is the Lord. It's His. He purchased us with His blood. He hung on that cross, bled with His back ripped open to pay the price so that He could possess this treasure, His church, for the joy set before Him of bringing many sons to God. He endured the cross. I know we hear the parable about the treasure buried in the ground, the parable of the kingdom of heaven, and many people, it's actually kind of divided. Some people say that's the kingdom of God, that we would sell everything to possess. And that's cool. There, I have nothing wrong with that. But there's others that say, well, maybe that treasure is us in the earth. And Christ came and gave everything He had to possess us, for the joy set before Him. He wants all of you. He owns all of you. And what would a man give in exchange for a soul, man? I mean, there is nothing in this world far more valuable than having Christ truly have us. Praise God. How hungry are you for revival? How hungry are you? It amazed me, these songs, like the very song, Hungry. Hungry, I come to you. How hungry are we? Do we just have like a little, you know, well, I could eat, you know? Or do we feel that ache in the depth of our soul that we are hungry for what God has for us above everything else in our life, above all the stuff that just pours through our life on a day-to-day basis, moment by moment, that distracts us, that annoys us, that entertains us, that thrills us, that captures our attention and our affection and drives us in every way, which way and direction except towards the throne of God. How hungry are we to cast all that stuff out of here, to get rid of the junk and clear the table, just get rid of the junk off the table and say, Lord, this is your table. This is your feast. Have at it. Have it all, God. How hungry are we? How hungry are you to walk with Christ, to walk with Jesus, with the intimacy that the apostles knew Him? You know, when they sat and they could see the perspiration glistening on His forehead as He would listen to people. He'd listen to their words and listen to their soul that was speaking behind their words. And as He listened to the voice of the Father revealing to Him the very secrets of man, and He knew all men, And the apostles could look into his eyes. They could look, watch the expression on his face. Maybe just an eyebrow raise a little bit, or just a furrow just come upon his brow. And they could watch as he reacted and responded. And they lived and they ate and they slept and they walked with him and they knew him. How hungry are you to know your God, your Lord, that intimately, so that every little nudge he gives you, every little whisper to your heart, every little just nudge that he gives to your soul, you feel it and sense it immediately and you walk with him step by step by step. How hungry are you for Christ? How thirsty are you for his living waters? I love when Gus brings me this water, man. It's nice and cold. And would you guys like any? I drank from this side. You can sip from the other. Praise God. It is refreshing, man. It's got ice cubes and stuff. Where is Gus? God bless you, brother. This is awesome. This is refreshing. But, you know, and man, no slam on you, Gus. I love you, brother, in the Lord. But you know what? This is one thing, but the living waters of God refresh at a far deeper level. How hungry are you for that refreshment? How thirsty are you to be filled that way? How hungry for the bread of his presence? Do you desire him? Do you desire him above everything in life? And while you're contemplating that answer, if you're thinking, yes, let me ask you another question. If an angel from heaven came into this room right now, and actually I'm sure this room has plenty of them, but if he were to visibly make his appearance among us, and in response to this question, as you're sitting here saying yes, what if he said, with a smile, prove it.